We continue on this week in race baseball, and joining us now our featured guest, bench coach Tom Foley. And Fo, as we come down the stretch of this 2015 season, your first as the bench coach, how different has it been for you, and what's been most different for you?
Probably not running out third base. You know, I've been so used to that, but it's been good. It's been a good year working with Kevin, and he uses all the staff. He'll ask all the staff questions during the course of the game, so there's a lot of dialogue going on between all the coaches. I guess the most, obviously taking care of the cards, stuff like that, and the moves with Kev, but it's been enjoyable. And again, a frustrating season for us as we come winding down here. But the move from third to bench coach has been a good one for me.
How different has it been watching a game? Because obviously you're watching and engaged when you're at third, and the bench, you see the game from a totally different angle. Are there certain things you see or don't see because of where you are on the field?
No, when we're hitting, and usually I'd be out at third base in the past years, you're so in tune to, looking around, see where everybody is and all the other things that are going on, making sure you get the sign from the manager and this and that. But here you catch yourself watching a lot but also trying to stay ahead and predicting what might be coming up, or at least you'd be prepared what might be coming up, not only for that half inning, for the next inning that's coming up. So, you do a lot of watching, and things don't really pick up until mid-game or something when things start to happen, and you just want to be ready for that.
I would say that's the case in a lot of American League games, but there's almost like three different types of games you have to manage during the season. The interleague games, when you're at a National League park, the American League games, and then the September games, where it's kind of all systems go and you've got 40-man rosters or 30-some on a side, especially when you're playing teams in the American League East, like the Yankees or the Red Sox or Baltimore or Toronto. How different is it for you to manage from a mental standpoint and kind of keep track of that stuff?
Well, you try to think along or try to stay ahead, and there's a lot of times that you think they may be doing something and then nothing happens. Or you wonder why they don't have this guy, or how come this guy's up, or what are they looking at? And you try to follow the other manager. There's so many players that are available in September because of the expanded rosters, and there's going to be matchups. They'll have five left-handers and maybe 10 right-handers in the bullpen, and they can use them all. And they can match up as the game goes on. We know the game will probably be longer in the month of September because you're going to use a lot more players. It's probably a rarity to see maybe one pinch hitter and two relievers in one game with the expanded rosters, because there's going to be a lot more movement.
What's your take on the expanded rosters? We've talked about this with Kevin, and certainly on the broadcast we've talked about it among ourselves. I mean, is it right to have basically one set of rules for 5 months and then another for another? I know it gives guys a chance to play, but would it be better to have at least a designated 25 each night among the 30-some-odd you have available?
Well, there are a lot of opinions going around as far as the roster moves in September. How many should you call up? Should there be a limit? Should there not be a limit? You play for 5 months with a 25-man roster, and then all of a sudden September comes up and you'll have 30-something guys on your club at your disposal. But, again, you do get to see some guys that you may want to look at for next year and get an idea. I understand, but as far as the rules go and stuff like that, I don't even think about it.
You've had a lot to think about during the course of this season, though. You mentioned with all the injuries, with all the change, and with Kevin adjusting. What's the rapport been like between the two of you, and how has it adjusted, and what types of adjustments have you had to make over the course of the year?
Yeah, I don't know if there's, over the course of the year, how many adjustments we had to make. It was just, I think Kevin and Hickey have done a great job. We did have a shortage of starting pitching, and we brought the guys in. They pitched well for us. There's no doubt the guys that stepped in for those roles really did a good job for us this year. And you got to credit Hickey and Stan for that. As far as the injuries goes, everybody has them during the course of the year, so you're not going to whine about it. You just got to play through it, and hopefully guys will step up. And they did for the most part in the year. We just found ourselves struggling here at the end a little bit, and it's been kind of disappointing. But, they've as far as the moves and things that you had to adjust during the course of the year, that's just part of the season. It's a long season, and there's going to be injuries, and you're going to have to, you guys maybe in different roles, hit them in different spots and adjust, and hopefully things work out. And for the most part, it's been a pretty good year.
You've played under a lot of different managers of player. You've coached under several here in the Rays organization. What's the one thing that stands out when you hear the name Kevin Cash?
Well, open-minded, obviously. He's definitely not one of those guys that thinks he knows everything because he does ask a lot of questions. And but when he makes his mind up, he's 100% sold on what he's going to do. He's very confident. And his demeanor in the clubhouse and in the dugout is the same anywhere else. He doesn't change. Obviously when the game gets heated up in a little bit and things get a little dicey, unraveled in there in the dugout. But, for the most part, he's relaxed. We're relaxed. I think he's done a real good job this year and looking forward to working with him.
How do you think he's going to grow going forward? I mean, you've worked with a lot of guys and seen them grow over time.
Well, I mean, being his first year, there's a lot that was put on the table for him. And, we've had to do things. We did some things differently than this year than other clubs. It helped our club, and it kept us where we were for a long time in the race. But, he's just going to go about it, and he's going to learn maybe what he wants to do more so next year, maybe not as much next year. He's going to, after the season's over, probably sit down and look back at the season and probably evaluate himself. That's the kind of guy he is. And he's going to realize maybe he needs to do this more or that more, and what he wants to change, what do we want to attack in spring training. And there are going to be some definite things we're going to attack in spring training next year and get after it the next year.
We'll get to that in a moment. From afar, it seems like his energy has never waned. And you go through a lot of highs and lows during the course of the season. That's the one thing that stands out from afar. Is that something you've noticed also from up close? He seems to have a very positive energy and a good energy coming in every day.
Well, the guy's only 37, 38 years old. It's not like he's an old fart. He better have the energy. He always comes out that same way with energy. He throws out that little sarcasm in there, and he keeps it loose. He obviously does, and the rest of the staff does too. Now, there's a lot of bantering going on in the clubhouse that it's every day, and it's a loose atmosphere in there as well as in the central clubhouse there with the players. So, I think that folds over to the players. They see that, and they come out here, and they're relaxed and ready to play too.
How close is that staff? I know you guys seem to have a very good rapport amongst one another.
Yeah, we've been together for a couple of years, and, with Charlie and Rocco, both been in the organization and known them very well, they fit right in. They've done a great job too. Charlie's done a real good job over at third base as well as Rocco at first base. So, they blended in great. The chemistry is good. We have a good time. When it's time to get down to business, we get down to business. When it's time to work, we work. So, like I said, when spring training comes around, obviously there's going to be some things we need to work on, and we're going to have to make those a strong point and, get after it.
Tom Foley with us on This Week in Race Baseball. Let's touch on spring training because it's something that, you kind of organize and structure. What things come to your mind when you think, hey, these are little things that this group can learn how to do better or through drill work and spring training can get better at for next year?
Well, I mean, you look at the course of the season and see how well we did in all aspects of the game. And we do cover everything in spring training, but maybe we need to emphasize more and do more on certain areas. And, obviously we have made some base running blunders here and there, and we need to tighten up that and PFPs, pitchers fielding practice, bunt plays and covering first or whatever it may be. But, those things that we need to do, we'll get after, we'll make sure, we'll emphasize that, and it'll be a priority in spring training.
You also do such a terrific job working with the infielders. How much did it hurt to have missed? I mean, you mentioned, look, you can't complain about injuries, but James Loney was on the DL twice. And certainly, I think that's probably taken a little bit away from even when he's been back. How much has that hurt not having that guy at first base that can take away some mistakes?
Well, that folds over when you get a guy like Loney out and you're piecing it together and you're putting maybe a guy like Franklin over there. Forsythe will play there a little bit. Schaefer's played there a little bit. I'm trying to think of who else has played there.
Yeah, Dykstra, Krause,
I forgot. Yeah, Dykstra, those guys that aren't with us anymore. But, yeah, you get familiarized with Loney, and you almost take it for granted that anybody throw over there, no matter if it's in the dirt, off to the side, he's going to make the play. And when he doesn't, you're pretty shocked that he doesn't do it because that's how good he is. He's come back, and he might have struggled a little bit for his standards. over at first base. I'm sure he's not as pleased as he wants to be as the season coming to a close. But, you know, that injury did slow him down a little bit. And you know, when you miss a guy like that, then maybe those infielders over there think they got to make a perfect throw and they may not make the throw they want. So, but again, infielders, you know what, you don't think about it, just throw it over. Whoever's over there, catch the ball. So that's how I think about it. But it is when you miss a big part like that, big piece like that in the infield.
A guy who's taken a major step forward, though, is also on that side of the infield. How good has Logan Forsyth been in your mind at second base?
He's been outstanding. He really has. You know, we came into the season, you know, not knowing if we were going to platoon. It would be a platoon situation over there. Because of the way things worked out in spring training, he got the brunt of the play early in the season. He's just taken a hold. He's taken that position, and it's his position. Everyday second baseman. I put him right up there, any second baseman in the big leagues right now, offensively and defensively. He's had a tremendous year. He's steady. He's probably what you call a no-nonsense guy, but he does have a sense of humor. But when he's out there, he's just a baller. He's a dirt player, and he gets after it. So, you know, you tip your hat to a guy like that and came over. He really didn't have the best of seasons for us last year and didn't get the opportunity that he got this year. But once given that opportunity, he's taken it and he's ran with it.
Someone said to me that he would be somewhat of a steady Eddie, kind of like a Ben Zobrist, in a different way, in that Ben played so many more positions. But has he kind of been that kind of guy in terms of where he's fit in the lineup and being able to also play his position so well?
Well, I think so, yeah. I don't think I would compare him to Ben, being that Ben would run around the outfield, come in and play second, play short, and throw him anywhere you want, hit anywhere in the lineup. But he is that guy. You know, you can kind of compare him to him, but Ben was probably a little bit more versatile, and we're not asking for Logan to be that. We're asking for Logan to be the second baseman, and the second baseman of the future for the Tampa Bay Rays. So, and he's done that. He's locked in there. He's performed very well at the plate. He's been steady at probably around 280 clip, 285 clip all year. Hasn't wavered too much from that. Driving the runs and hitting behind Longoria. So, he's had a fine season.
You talk about, you know, steady and versatility, and you've been versatile and steady in this organization for many years and really now one of the most senior guys in the organization. What do you see going forward, and what would be the big keys to getting back to the postseason, hopefully in 2016?
Well, I mean, I think you need to get that pitching staff healthy and hopefully ready to go at the beginning of next year. I know Alex won't be ready until later in the year, but, you know, just step in there and have that set bullpen healthy, breaking spring training. You know, tighten up the little things that we really didn't do very well this year, or is not as well as we wanted to. And you know, I'm sure they're going to have some pieces. We're going to maybe lose some guys. We're going to bring some guys in. They always do a great job upstairs of finding those guys, those pieces that we need. So you know, we'll look forward to that and just tighten up things that kind of got away from us a little bit this year.
I know you spend a lot your off seasons in Tampa Bay too. Do you get much time during a hectic season like this to be able to relax? I know you like fishing during spring training, things like that.
Not at home, no. Not at home. We don't. You know, I'll leave the house about noon to get into the ballpark, 12:30 somewhere around there, and get in about 1:30. So the only thing I can really do is probably have lunch with my wife and then head to the ballpark. But you know, on the road, every once in a while we'll go out and get up early in the morning, go fishing, and be done by 11:30, 12, and head over to the ballpark. You know, you got to do something to break it up a little bit. It's a long season. You know, it's not a sprint. They always say it's a marathon, and we know marathons are long, and we get it. But you got to enjoy yourself a little bit, and sometimes get away from it, and you know, expand your mind where it's not always baseball, baseball, baseball. And it's good, but you know, when the off season comes, yeah, there'll be a lot of fishing, there'll be a lot of golfing going on.
Well, hopefully it's still a good last week of the season coming up for the Rays, and a successful off season leading to a much better 2016. Thanks for a few minutes.
My pleasure. Thanks.
It's Tom Foley, bench coach for the Rays. We continue on This Week in Rays Baseball. After this, you're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.